Life Podcast, a podcast that generates positive energy. My name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and talk show host. And on today's episode, we talk with Dan Hetherington from SEH about the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota. In just a moment, our exclusive interview with Dan Hetherington. But first, I want to take a quick moment to remind you good folks to please support our sponsors. They literally keep our lights on. Part of living here. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
So my name is Dan Hetherington, and I'm with SEH. I'm a senior project manager.
And here we are with the weekly Bakken Davis Refinery update. We do a weekly update to see what's going on out in the Davis Refinery. Huge deal this week happened. Just got off the phone at the North Dakota Department of Health, and so I thought I'd give you a quick buzz to see what you thought about the news that broke this week. Man, I mean, we're going to be reading about it in history books pretty soon.
I hope so, because it's pretty darn exciting. It's a lot of fun. We are so the tremendous amount of effort that's been going into this project, highly regulated project. Air permit is a very, very high level permit that is absolutely necessary for our project, and we've been working with the Department of Health air quality folks for well over a year now, and it's come together very well this week, where they've posted a draft permit. We are in the beginning of a public comment period, which will kind of come together with a public meeting and for an informational meeting, and then a public hearing for comments. So we've come a long way, and things are kind of really coming together this week. So yeah, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Well, and really, I mean, when we're talking about the different milestones of things, is that, you know, this really is a pretty big milestone. And that's kind of why I bring up the history thing, because, you know, we do, as humans, we like our milestones, we like our goals. You know, like, if you're a sporting team, your first goal would be to get to the playoffs. And that's how I'm kind of looking at this, is that, you know what, this is like a big milestone. So, and it sounds to me like you guys are viewing it at least similar to that.
Oh, absolutely. So remember, actually, so if you don't mind, I'll kind of go into something just a little bit, because here's where I think the big impact is. The amount of effort that's gone through to get this project to this point, the amount of design, and we're talking millions on millions and millions of dollars that have been spent thus far in order to bring in the right technologies to assure that technology is going to work appropriately for this application, and understand how all of this comes together, the modeling that's necessary, the minimal amount of emissions that are coming off of this facility. I mean, for goodness sake, there are agricultural processing facilities that have bigger emissions than this place. This is a game changer, not only for, you know, just, you know, the impact it's going to have for the local area, the impact it's going to have for the state of North Dakota, but we're talking about impacts for the nation. The United States, you know, during the hurricanes last summer, there were issues where, you know, we lost 20% of our refining capacity from Harvey alone, and then it was like 30% after the other hurricanes were going through. There's a lack of diversity in locations for refining in the United States. North Dakota ships out well over 90% of its product, its crude oil that's being developed in North Dakota, to be refined elsewhere, and then they have to bring it back in as a product. But it's a big thing for the industry, for the emission levels that are so low on this. This is the greenest refinery that there's been. It's it's the emissions are so low that the other refineries aren't going to be able to help but to look at this thing and ask if themselves if they can make improvements to their facilities to kind of, you know, take advantage of the technology that's being used here. So it's exciting about, you know, 8 ways from Sunday. So yeah, I agree with you. It's we're reviewing it the same way. This is a big deal where we've hit a great milestone.
It's been fun for me, you know, talking with yourself and Edward Martinez of Zia Engineering and William Prentice, Mr. Prentice from Meridian Energy Group, and Terry O'Clair from the health department. And I even talked to a couple of the people from Meridian that were going to be, you know, different products and that sort of thing. So really, we've kind of run the whole gamut from the private to the state to the even some local citizens and that sort of thing. And I'll tell you a couple things that really stood out to me when I talked to the State Department, Department of Health was, and I want your comments on this. One was that the amount of vetting that went into ensuring that these new technologies not only were going to be green in theory, but were green somehow in application somewhere else, and then to critically think and layer that into a refinery. That, to me, was one part of it. The other part of this that really surprised me was what I just learned today from the health department was they brought in the EPA for this thing. So that, to me, was kind of why I was wondering why some of these timelines were going a little bit longer. But if they folded in the EPA out of the gate, that is no wonder that there was immense amount of oversight and red tape. What was that like from, you know, your private side, I guess, you know, knowing that this amount of vetting was going in? I imagine it was a little bit of a double-edged sword.
Well, you know, it's as far as for the double-edged portion of it, I mean, so things take a little bit longer than what you hope for. You know, the company that Meridian Energy wants to try to get this technology in use right away. They want to start, you know, utilizing this stuff and break ground and actually get this thing functioning. So when you're going through your permitting process and there are a lot of different people involved with the reviewing of it and the vetting of all of the data that's being provided. By the way, the data is tremendous. The amount of it is it's kind of a little bit crazy. There's a lot of stuff there, so it takes a little bit more time. But in when you look back at it and you say, okay, this thing, the Department of Health for the state of North Dakota are extremely professional and high-level people that know this stuff inside and out. And they went through this thing with a fine-tooth comb. And then they brought in people like you said that, you know, they brought in EPA people. They brought in other people that have additional expertise and additional things that they're looking at on top of things. And they all come together at the end of it all and say, this is a good project. This is a project that falls under the allowable thresholds. We have the low emissions that you know that Meridian has been saying all along that was what their intent was and that was what their goal was and they were going to achieve it. And everybody coming back together after that much vetting is just a tremendous thing. At that point, I mean, there's nobody can come back and doubt, well, you know, say that someone is misrepresenting something or something like that when that level of oversight has been involved with your project and that level of just review of every little detail that could possibly come up and with the fact that they brought in EPA people to help them out or to work alongside of them would be a better way to put it, just makes us that much more proud of, you know, what's going on, what's happening. These are great people that they really are concerned about the state of North Dakota and what those impacts are, and they wanted to make sure they didn't miss anything, and we're proud to, you know, have the opportunity to work with them.
You know, and I kind of look at this because what you said is right. You know, they brought in the experts, and they are the experts, and so they brought in so many different people, including, you know, both private and state brought in so many different people to make sure that so many different I's and T's were crossed and dotted and that sort of thing. Was there anything that really stood out as a problem? I mean, I asked the health department. They didn't really seem to think of anything. And, you know, the way I phrased it, I guess, was, you know, it took longer in my it took longer than I think a lot of people thought, but at the end of the day, I guess a few I's and T's were crossed, but nobody really had to rip the script and rewrite the whole thing, did they?
No, it wasn't anything like that. There was an opportunity when the original applications went in the October of 16, and in April of 17, some modifications were made, some improvements were made to reduce emissions even more and to add more efficiencies into the plant. So there were some modifications made, but it wasn't anything like, you know, you toss it out and start over again or anything like that. So you know, as far as for, you know, you asked if there was a major problem or anything like that, I would say no as well. I mean, this has gone pretty smooth. You know, where, you know, we provide the information, they come back with questions, you know, which is essentially, hey, you're making this claim, prove it. So we were able to prove it and work with them and make everybody feel comfortable with it. If you forced me to say what was the problem, in some of the cases, especially with the modeling efforts that were done, the transfer of that information isn't easy. You're talking about computer models that take 24 to 36 hours to run, and the data that those models develop is extensive. And so when you transfer it, you don't just email that. You know, at one point we had to take this is just a little side note you probably don't even care about, but we had to take an external hard drive and put the data on that hard drive and then deliver it to the department so they could download it off of that hard drive. So yeah, you know, there were some challenges based on the size itself. But other than that, I mean, it went very, very well. I'm extremely happy with how the department, you know, treated us, very professional, very, you know, just, you know, very businesslike from day one. And it worked out. It's worked out extremely well.
Last weekend, I was up at the API Christmas party. Good time and some good conversation. Some folks from KLJ, ConocoPhillips, a few Bronco Brothers Trucking, just whole gamut of different people. And we talked about the Davis Refinery, and, you know, of course, a lot of support out there. You know, the industry, they understand the jobs it's going to bring and the ripple effect on how that's going to keep their trucks moving and just the whole energy ecosystem and that sort of thing. If these guys want to support you guys during the public meeting, now I've talked to the health department and they've got a website and everything along those lines, but I imagine it's still probably a pretty good idea for you guys to hear this support to keep that momentum going.
Oh yeah, I mean that's just like anybody, you know, that, you know, on any sporting team that you've got, if you know, you stop cheering from the sidelines, they kind of wonder what's going on. But so any you know, attaboys or keep on going guys or team, you know, that kind of stuff, it's great stuff to hear. And then what's really nice about that is if we can get that information, especially at Meridian Energy, then what Meridian can do is take that data, hold on to it, and then if elected officials are curious, going, okay, what kind of support have you had and what do you have, or what kind of information do you have, we can share that with them. They can pull that information up, or just, you know, say, here's a count of how many letters of support we received and that kind of stuff. So that's great information to have. The contact person would actually, you know, we'd ask people to send that stuff right to Meridian Energy. Adam Williams is the director of corporate communications, and I don't think that he'd mind at all if I said that, you know, please send that kind of stuff if you're inclined to do so to his email address. And if you'd like, I can give you that.
Sure. Yeah. In fact, we'll make sure it's up on our website too. And yeah, that's a great idea, because, you know, I was even thinking about, for one thing, I like to do is I like to give people that support projects a little bit of a platform, because let me tell you, people who have questions, they're every media outfit in the company and in the country likes to, you know, say, call here to complain, call here to get questions, this and that. Not many people say, you know what, if you kind of support the project, let's you know, get the word out that way. I didn't realize that that Meridian would take these in. I was talking the health department. So yeah, let's give out Dan's number. And what the heck, man, that sounds like a great idea. I mean, the reason I'm surprised is most energy companies are not that accessible. So yeah, I mean, if they're willing to be that accessible, absolutely, man, I'll put it on our website. What's the email address?
Well, I appreciate that. By the way, I feel the exact same way. I've worked for a lot of, you know, different companies where, you know, they're a client and stuff, and they don't necessarily want it going right to their headquarters and to their people. But, you know, just it does make a ton of sense once they explained it to me that, you know, they'd rather see that information and be able to compile it and show various elected officials rather than, one person sending a letter to the governor, and then the other people don't necessarily get to see it. So it does make a ton of sense. And let me give you Adam's. His name is, again, Adam Williams. I'm going to give you Adam's email address. It's A. Williams, so A-W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S at megicorp.com. That, again, was A-W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S at megicorp.com.
Okay, great. And like I said, we'll make sure we have that available at the Crude Life's website, and then we'll also share it through our network of social media as well. And Dan, you might not be aware of this, but not only have I been adding, you know, radio stations for our radio program and some newspapers and magazines for the print stories we do, but I've been busy on the social media side, and I did a content joint partnership with Shale Media Group, and now we have a social media network of over 250,000, and we're doing a weekly program called the Weekly Bakken Get-Together live on Facebook. Look at us getting all grown up, huh?
That is amazing. Absolutely wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that. It's great when people have an opportunity to access that kind of information and to all communicate together. I'm extremely happy for you. That's phenomenal.
Well, and one of the things we like to say we learned from the oil industry was that, you know, during the downturns or during the time when people are saving some money and waiting for the prices to maybe be a little bit more favorable, people got to work together. They got to recognize how they can leverage each other's assets in order to keep their eye on the bigger picture. I think you know what I'm talking about there.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. It's just like, you know, just a common way to look at it is when you reach out and you help your neighbor and your neighbor's going to help you, and people that have these type of you know, projects and efforts moving forward, the more we can help each other, the better. And I'm thrilled to death that you've developed another resource to do that. So thank you for that.
Well, yeah, thank you. In fact, we kind of got inspired by the industry's looking at, you know, a big portion's going to be retiring. And so there's a little bit of concern that, you know, the upcoming people like you and me and, you know, maybe some of the other people we work with around our age group don't necessarily have the, you know, an understanding or a respect for the business. So they want to make sure that the younger generation gets a connection with the older generation so we can keep that line of communication going, much like how you guys did that with the Davis Refinery amongst each other. There we go, transitioning back here because I wanted to wrap up here. I wanted to pat myself on the back a little bit, but also I wanted to wrap up here. So, okay, I just want to just kind of bullet point very quickly here. Okay, as far as I know, the North Dakota Department of Health issued this draft permit, asterisk, public meeting. Normally it's a 30-day period because of the holiday and the importance of this. They've extended to it a 45-day period, so right around January 23rd, 25th, something like that is when it ends. But as of right now, they issued the draft permit for the Davis Refinery. There is a public comment period, and if that's true, what's the next steps?
So you're absolutely are true. That absolutely is true. So the public comment period, It does last, you're exactly right, until January 26th, I believe it is. And it starts officially tomorrow, actually. And then on the 17th, we're going to have a public informational meeting and a public hearing in Dickinson at the university. And we'd love to see people, you know, that if they're supportive, we'd love to see you. We do understand that, you know, just the nature of this stuff, when people support it, they tend to stay home and say, you know, good luck. I hope they make this happen. And then, unfortunately, some of the people who are more opposed to the project, they show up. So we'd be thrilled to death to see people come and help us, support the project at the public hearing. But if you can't, a little letter would be great. So what happens after that time period is that the department will go through and they'll evaluate all the public comments. And then at that point, they'll make a determination of whether or not some of those comments are valid or you know, justified or relevant to the air emissions issues at all. And then they'll make some potential conditions or something on the permit or something like that. But we would hope that after all of that time and they review all of those comments and respond accordingly, we would you know, be very excited to see the permit issued, you know, sooner than later. But we do understand that's going to take a little bit of time. So,
okay, and that is public comments in Dickinson, North Dakota. And what day was that again? January
17th. And it's at 5:30 at night, and that's Mountain Time. And so it'll be 5:30 at night on January 17th. And it's actually at the Dorothy Stickney Auditorium at May Hall at the Dickinson University, right there in Dickinson.
And that's a Wednesday. Okay, so Wednesday, January 17th. I remember that Stickney, because when Avery Terry O'Clair, he recited the same information. So again, if you go to thecrudelife.com and click on the website, we'll have the information there, as well as keep an eye on our social media, bakken.com, and the Crude Life social media. We'll be keeping you guys posted there as well. Okay, Dan, let's wrap her up here. Anything, final thoughts, anything we left out, anything we want to reiterate, anything that you want to, you know, kind of talk about here as we wrap it up?
Well, I guess just to kind of the things that are going through my head, you know, that we're very excited about where we're at. This is a very highly regulated project. This isn't something you just decide on a whim that you're going to go and build a refinery. And what we've seen is, you know, the county has been very supportive of us. We've got, you know, the zoning and the conditional use permits that are necessary. We've got the water folks have you know, offered our permit, or, you know, to us. That's still, you know, in process. Our air permit is going very well. We're just thrilled with the amount of support and the way people are looking at this as a great opportunity for not only the locals in North Dakota, but for the country as a whole. So I'm just very grateful to everybody who's been helping out.
And that was Dan Hetherington with SEH about the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota. To listen to this podcast or other podcasts, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our weekly newsletter. We're also on social media. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, those links are available at thecrudelife.com. And once again, I'd like to take this time to thank our sponsors and ask you, if you have a chance, go check out our sponsors page. And if there's somebody that you might be able to do some business with, or just reach out and say hello, well, we appreciate that very much, because they keep interviews like this free for you to enjoy. Months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
When you get to know Eric, and he is so willing to share with you how growing up, you know, his life was impacted by an outstanding mom, and the challenges that he may be faced. When he's willing to open up and talk about those things, you're immediately drawn in. And that's that vulnerability that I think that he has publicly said, it's okay to be yourself. And it's okay for you to make mistakes along the way.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching, or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
That's it for this episode. My name is Jason Spies. This is the Crude Life Podcast, generating positive energy. We'll see you next time, folks.
Cold draft laying low to the floor. blankets on the couch trying to keep me warm. Well, that's just part of living here. Snow's falling, wind's starting to blow. The season's drifting up by my front door. Well, life slows down at a few below. You're walking out.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Some riders shining with a mocking sound. A frozen cobblestone reflects the night. Riding up the smile faces of the people passing by. It's the Broadway shining with the marquee sign. Frozen cobblestone reflects the night. Small city, it's a big time life. And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking with the people that I know. And I'm thinking, I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Hope my car stops when I go. The engine's froze. I feel the wind chill down to my toes. Well, I'm glad I don't live too far away. Oh, well, the moonlight shining on my walk home. I'm breathing in cold air, exhaling smoke. So quiet, I can hear it all. And I'm walking out. People there.